Hear ye, hear ye. The Supreme Court of the State of Wisconsin is now in session. Your silence is commanded.
Please be seated. Well, good morning. I have some notes that tell me that you all may be dividing up your argument a little bit differently than usual, so I want to go over them with you so I'm sure we're all on the same page. We're going to start out with 25 minutes by Attorney Harnish. Then 15 minutes by Attorney Hilsberger, okay, thank you. And 15 minutes by Attorney Humphrey. And then back to you, Attorney Harnish. And that matches your understanding as well. Okay, very good. Are you prepared to proceed? Please do.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm here, Tom Harnish, and I'm here representing a group of seven folks who are here, at least four of them are here in the audience today, and they're the petitioners and respondents in a matter involving a cemetery in the Vernon County. Let me first of all say that this is a cemetery that is a one-acre cemetery established in 1898. It was a cemetery named as a cemetery, a one-acre parcel, to be a cemetery, and has still remained a cemetery since 1898. I would alert the court to a number of court cases that address this issue of the cemetery, and the one that, of course, is a Wisconsin case, which is Wilder, which we'll get to. It's a position, of course, of the petitioners that the cemetery is not subject to adverse possession.
Let's start with this, counsel. Who owns the cemetery?
Who owns the cemetery?
Yes.
It's difficult to understand. By the way, I'm glad you asked that question. That, by the way, is a parlance from the late, great Hubert Humphrey, who used to say always, "I'm glad you asked that question." So I'll say it and get it over with.
Is my recollection correct? You were a state senator here years ago.
I was, okay. But I wasn't related to Hubert Humphrey.
Okay.
But I needed to say it outright to the
okay.
court.
All right. So you have Justice Kelly's question.
Right.
In your view, who owns the cemetery?
Who owns the cemetery is that cemetery is set aside back in the 1890s. Was separated from the 40-acre parcel. And the people who own that cemetery are those people you can track off that. And my people have tracked off that thing to the point where they believe it's owned by a group of folks, but it's not owned by any of the people who are the respondents or the appellants.
Well, does no one hold title to this property?
The title to this property, Your Honor, is... somebody found one day that there was 1 acre missing, and the tax lister, as some of you are familiar with the tax lister, asked the question, where is this 1 acre? And the 1 acre is, of course, the cemetery, and nobody's paying taxes on it. It is listed, by the way, Your Honor, in the tract. So from the standpoint of the petitioners and respondents, It's simply those people who reside there.
Well, then no one resides there.
There's 25 to 30 people that reside there.
There are no people that reside there. There are human remains, perhaps, but there's no one that resides there.
Do
right? Living people reside, correct?
Yeah. I'm sorry, you're not finished,
no,
Justice
please,
Kelly?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Do the remains that are in the cemetery create any kind of a right in and of themselves, such as an easement for the use of the cemetery?
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, there is no abandonment of this 1 acre because those people are buried there. For that cemetery to be abandoned, and I think the court cases are clear on that, they would have to be exhumed from there, that 25 or 30 folks, and then it would be a land owned by whoever. That has not happened. The parcel itself is dominated by 25 buried people.
Counsel, do you have any authority for the proposition that human remains can own property? Do you have any authority for the proposition that human remains can own property?
I don't have, Your Honor, any direct Wisconsin case, but I think it's pretty clear that this property cannot be abandoned as long as those 25 people are there. They are there holding fort, if you will. And so I guess from the standpoint of who controls that 1 acre, those folks who are buried there.
Well, Counsel, the 1 acre plot was the subject of an actual deed. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it was, Your Honor.
And that went at least from the Jones to Carson.
Right.
Right? And where did the deed go after that?
It's gone nowhere.
Okay. So some descendant of Mr. Carson owns the property.
It could be. We don't know.
Okay. So let me stop you right there. Isn't that the first task in this case, to figure out who owns the property?
No, I don't think we're excited as much, Your Honor, about who owns the property.
So hang on. You're trying to transfer ownership of the property to the town. Doesn't that require you figure out who owns the property first?
No, I don't think it does. And the court cases that I've tracked don't insist that they do that.
Okay. So you think the cemetery statute allows seven people to come along and transfer someone else's property to the town?
Well, I don't know that they're asking the property to be transferred as such. Remember what the court did, the circuit court did. It never transferred the property. It just transferred the right to control what was going on in that property.
Counsel, the statute that you're relying on says, and I quote in pertinent part, whenever any cemetery in a town is falling into disuse or is abandoned or neglected, and by reason of the removal or death of the persons interested in its upkeep, there exists no association or group with authority to transfer ownership and operation of the cemetery to the town. And then it goes on. The statute contemplates the transfer of ownership and operation to the town, right?
The title is not transferred. What has happened here is that the property itself and the care of that property is transferred over, as the circuit court decided, to the town.
Right, the ownership, just like the statute says, right?
Well, counsel, you're talking about cemeteries as defined in 15702, but that statute was not in existence in the 1890s when this, quote, cemetery was created. I'm really more interested in whether the term cemetery, as it's been used throughout the history of this property, is really the same as cemetery defined in 15702. And I note that Chapter 15702 also talks about burial sites. Just because the the people who have transferred this property on and on talked about it as a, quote, cemetery. Tell me why I should conclude that definition is the same as the statutory definition of cemetery in 157.02.
Well, I think if the court would look at the court cases that are involved in this, you'd find one that goes on and on and on defining what, in fact, is a cemetery. And that court case is the town of Blooming Grove versus Roselawn Memorial, 1939. And there they give about, I think, at least six or seven different definitions of what is a cemetery. Okay? Now, when this property was first established, the 1 acre, it said it will be a cemetery and for cemetery and burial purposes only. Okay? That's what it is. Now, you don't make any more than that of it. That's what it is.
So, Mr. Harnish, you're saying that all you had to do to make something a cemetery was to call it a cemetery? What about all the regulations that talk about associations and the requirements surrounding associations? And then the case that you cite to talks all about how the land was platted and sold for the burial to purchasers for the burial of their dead. We have none of that here. You're saying all you have to do is say the word cemetery and then you get afforded all the rights of a cemetery?
Well, it doesn't carry those things because in the year that it was deeded, these elements were not in there.
Well, okay. But there was all kinds of regulations during that year, the same types of regulations as now surrounding associations and how many people could be in an association. And, I mean, all of this, it was very similar regulations in terms of how these associations were formed, right?
Justice, that is true, but it wasn't true when this property was deeded as a cemetery. There wasn't any tag like that. And I'm assuming that the only thing we have here is that it was a cemetery for burial purposes. Okay.
So you're saying because there was no actual definition of what a cemetery was, despite it was, I believe, Chapter 59, 1438, and 1442 that talked all about the associations. But you're distinguishing between the lack of actual definition of what a cemetery was at the time?
At the time, there was no definition of a cemetery, okay. And that's what this 1 acre lived under.
Thank you.
Counsel, if the conveyance in the 1890s referred to the parcel as a burial site rather than as a cemetery, would you still have a claim here today?
Yeah, Your Honor, we would, because remember, there's 25 people all hovering underneath this 1 acre. That would be a cemetery under almost anybody's review. When we think of burial sites, we usually think of a spasatic one or two, somebody burying grandma behind the barn and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's not this. This is 25 folks, 25 to 30 folks, all put together in this one spot, okay? And they were on a ridge overlooking the Vernon County. I want to point out, by the way, just giving a quick background on, I know I'm drifting off where I shouldn't be, but these petitioners came into this, and one of them has a great-great-grandma who was buried there. These people are looking at the descendants of those buried in that subject cemetery. And it was the maintenance order by the circuit court, and that's what that was in 2014 against the town of Forest, was for them to maintain that 1 acre. And, of course, they refused to do that. And to date, there's been a lack of fiscal or physical management by the town of Forest. Remember what we've got here as the statutory limits, and was noted by one of the justices here. The cemetery has fallen into disuse. There's no question about that. There exists no association or group with the authority to transfer ownership of the cemetery.
Council, was there ever an association or group with authority to transfer ownership of this property?
Your Honor, I do not believe so. I don't believe there ever was an association of any kind. My clients don't know about it.
Okay. Doesn't that disqualify 157, 115, 1C from operation?
No.
Well, it says whenever any cemetery in a town is falling into disuse or is abandoned or neglected, and by reason of the removal or death of the persons interested in its upkeep, there exists no association or group. So it's looking at a causal relationship here between the association and its failure, right? So it says when there was an association or group of people with the authority to transfer, and by reason of the removal or death of those people, there is no longer a group or an association, then this statute is operative. But it presumes that there was an association or group first, doesn't it?
I don't believe that assumption stands. There never was an association. This cemetery was just what it says it was, a cemetery of 25 people.
Right, but we're trying to figure out how the language of the statute works, right? So you've acknowledged that there's never been an association or group of people with the authority to transfer. So help me understand why that doesn't matter to the statute.
Well, I can't address that issue.
Okay.
There exists no association or group with the authority to transfer ownership and operation of the cemetery to the town of Forest. I guess that's about all we can say.
Well, we might say something else, right? We could find the actual owners of the property.
We've got the ownership of that 1 acre.
Who owns it?
Well, you'd have to check with the tax lister. We don't have any idea because it's never been, remember, it's never been taxed, Your Honor. This is if it was a taxable property, there'd be somebody following it, as you know. Well, but this is a cemetery where there is no tax, so they don't care who owns it.
Okay, but the person who owns it might care, right? So this property was the subject of a deed, yeah?
It was the subject of a 1 acre deed.
Right. So that went to Mr. Carson, and presumably whoever inherits from Mr. Carson owns that property. So there actually is somebody that owns this property right now, right?
Well, if they are owning it as private people, they're not being taxed as private people.
Okay.
That property
so
is
that big. Might be that might be a tax issue, but what we're talking about is the ownership of the property. Because in order to make this statute work, you have to have a failure of ownership such that there's no one capable of transferring the property. Right?
Right.
Okay. But if there is somebody in the line of title that still owns that property, they do have the authority to transfer, right?
They would have.
Okay. So doesn't that mean that your first step must be to find out, to do a quiet title action of some sort, to figure out whether there's anyone who owns it and has authority to transfer?
Well, if the county has never seen fit to want to do that.
It's not the county. Somebody apparently owns this, and you are trying to transfer ownership of the property to the town,
mm-hmm.
and you've never contacted the person who owns the property.
When you say we're trying to transfer the responsibility to the town, not necessarily the title to the town.
Well, they,
and that's what the court, in the circuit court level struggled with. They didn't want to transfer the title.
All right. So the statute that you're referring to, that you're relying on for this action, refers to the transfer of ownership and operation, right? And we understand from way back in law school that ownership of real property is a bundle of rights, yeah? So one of those bundles is the right to use. One of those bundles is the right to exclude. Those are ownership rights, and you're asking for that to be transferred to the town, right?
Well, I don't think that the circuit court wanted that. What the circuit court would just to simply transfer the obligations to the individuals
to
and
use...
didn't care about the, that ownership issue.
So you're just asking for the right to maintain the cemetery, cut the grass and all that jazz, be transferred to the town, correct?
That's correct.
And the ownership can stay with Mr. Carson, who, according to the deed I'm looking at, he got back in 1898, this one-acre parcel, correct?
Right.
Okay. So you don't care that Mr. Carson owns it. You just care because no one apparently is maintaining it, and you think if you can transfer it to the town, then the town will maintain it, right?
Well, yes, Your Honor. And, of course, that's really what we're dealing with on any one of these maintenance questions of cemeteries. That is, somebody has to maintain these cemeteries. You can't run away from that obligation. Somebody's got to do it.
Well, where is the obligation to maintain the cemetery? Cut the grass or whatever is usual for a cemetery. Where's the obligation
all,
for that?
That all lies in 157.
Where in 157? Can you tell me the site? Because I was looking at it. And if you're not a cemetery that's owned by one of these associations, I don't see where there's an obligation to do anything in particular except just not to dishonor the dead that are buried there. So if you could tell me the section, that'd be great. I have it before me.
Well, I don't have that specific section.
Okay. Well, maybe opposing counsel can find it. I didn't find it when I was looking for it, so.
What? Are you finished?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Ann.
What would keep the descendants from seeking to form an association?
Could the question is, what would keep them from forming an association for the idea of having taking on the responsibility for this particular cemetery?
Yes.
I think the answer, Your Honor, is they don't want to have to be responsible for that. They want the town to be responsible for that. And that is what they thought was going to happen when the circuit judge ruled that the town had to take it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want it. For whatever reason, the town did not want to take on that responsibility.
Well, there's no public road getting there, correct? There's no public road. It's along the edge of the property and up against a park, right?
Your Honor, there is no public road. Yes, it's right up against, tight up against Wildcat State Park.
Right.
Yeah. But it's not a difficult thing for somebody to get in there and maintain it. Okay, it's not like you're going having to crawl through.
Well, you either have to go through the park or you'd have to get permission from the current owners to cross their property to get to it, correct?
Yes. And the issue of the 1 acre where it's located, and I think the court has those plat maps and all that.
Right.
They can get to that property without much difficulty.
Well, I have the what you put in your appendix here, and Parcel A, which is the cemetery on the map that's before me, shows it's up against the state park, but it's also well within property owned by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So either the town is going to have to go through Wildcat State Park, and there's nothing in the record about whether there are roads that would lead through the park up to the cemetery for the town to use, and there's nothing in the record about any public road across the other parties to this action. So how are they supposed to do what you're asking them to do?
Your Honor, they can get there. There isn't any question they can get there.
Okay.
And it's not that difficult to go from the park to the cemetery. The issue is not the point of difficulty for maintenance. It's a question that they don't want to do any maintenance.
The issue is, do they own it? Well, who owns it? Because the owner is generally responsible for maintenance. Isn't that the issue?
Well, if I thought I could find the owner, maybe my client would go after him. But I think they believe, and the circuit court believe, that the responsible party, when no one else will do it, is the town.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the town owns this area?
Does the town own the 1 acre?
Yeah.
No, I don't think the town owns
it. Who do you think owns it?
Well, there's been discussion here, Your Honor, among some of the folks who are long since dead. We've never done a title search to try to find it because the property itself is exempt from taxation, so nobody ever follows it.
Well, is there anything that controverts the deed that is part of the record back in 1898?
Nothing that I can see where the deed has been challenged by anyone.
Okay. So what do you want this court to do, sir?
Your Honor, what I'd like the court to do is to take us back to the circuit court decision and order that the town maintain the cemetery. That's what the circuit court wanted. We even attempted, Your Honor, to get a writ of mandamus because we couldn't see where the town was being helped along by anyone, including the neighbors. And so our argument is simply that this is a $1,000, $1,500 a year responsibility to simply mow the lawn, fence the property. This is not a big deal. Somewhere in here, I quoted that famous Anon when I pointed out that you can judge a community by its takes care of the young, takes care of the old, and it takes care of the dead. And this is a case where somebody's not taking care of the dead.
Well, you want us to go back to the circuit court decision for the town to maintain the property. Does
right.
that mean the town owns the property?
No, I think what it means, Your Honor, is that it has the responsibility to take care of it. The circuit court never did get into the question of ownership. In fact, it was clear that the circuit court said, I'm not debating this issue of ownership. I'm just transferring this to the town because the town's got the responsibility to take care of this part.
So it's kind of like an easement of use that you want the town to have so they come in and cut the grass and
right.
do that stuff
mm-hmm.
without owning it.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you for the court. By the way, I do apologize for Hubert Humphrey. I don't do a very good rendition.
That's okay. We don't often have Hubert Humphrey quoted to us, so it's just fine.
Good morning. It's truly an honor to be here. My name is Garth Hitzelberger. I represent the Ferries, who we say are the landowners in this case by virtue of adverse possession. And if I may, I'd like to respond to a few things briefly about counsel's argument before the court. Indeed, Judge Kelly, I believe that the dead...
Excuse me, counsel. Make sure you speak up. Acoustics in this room are awful.
They are. Right.
I'll try.
Thank you. That's better, actually.
Yes, I can't say I'm not nervous. indeed, Judge Kelly, the dead do not own property. Carson and others who are the recipients of that in that deed, we don't know the status, where they are, whether they're alive or dead. And the evidence did have the title report that suggests that that they may have an interest, and further that my clients, the Ferries, may also have an interest. So that indeed has not been investigated. Blooming Grove, which counsel referred to, and he speaks of those definitions that the court considered. In fact, the court didn't really settle squarely on any of those decisions. Instead, it said that platting was indeed the key element, okay, the marking, the dedication of the ground to the specific use of a cemetery, which never occurred here. Going further, I mean, counsel to Judge Gradley,
your comment when you talk about the platting, that goes back to the definition currently of a cemetery. Was there any obligation to plat a cemetery back in 1898?
Absolutely, yeah. Judge, there is a continuity of statutory guidelines to form a cemetery that existed from the inception of the state itself.
So there were platting obligations back in 1898.
Yes, Your Honor. That was key. You know, these cemeteries are an ancient mechanism. You know, in our society, furthermore, they hold money. I mean, there's all kinds of formal requisites that go to creating a cemetery. The idea, and that gets to the next point, the idea that there was a cemetery. Truly, the grantor in that 1892 deed didn't understand cemetery, otherwise they would have complied with the formal requisites of a cemetery. It goes back to Jamestown when they were saying they called it a burying ground. I mean, these distinctions with words, okay, that we informally, we talk about the idea of cemetery. We talk about, you know, a burial site. In everyday parlance, we don't really draw that legal distinction. But Chapter 157 does, okay? It is very specific when we say it's a cemetery.
Okay, so the cemetery that's spoken to in the deed in 1898 is the same entity as the cemetery in Chapter 157 today?
It's a progeny. It is a descendant of those statutes. Thank you so much, Counselor. You know, and in fact, if I may, the Circuit Court was clearly erroneous when it cites not once but twice to an 1892 deed. Well, first of all, there's two of them. Okay, we talk about the 1898 deed. That's not what the Circuit Court referred to. In fact, it's clearly erroneous because that deed in itself doesn't even put a meets and bounds description. You look at that deed and it is ambiguous. It invites what we contend is the testimony of Earl Ferries to take care of that ambiguity. All you can determine from that deed is simply that there is a 1-acre tract on the north side of that 40. You can't say with any particularity where that is on the north side of that. So that's why that's clearly erroneous.
Well, was the cemetery platted? You tell me there were platting obligations back in 1898. Was it platted?
No, ma'am. It was never platted. It has never been platted. And evidence of that would have been the requirement further that that be recorded. So it's plainly the case that was never done.
Counsel, back in 1898, what were the other requirements for the creation of a cemetery other than platting?
Well, simply, you know, you would have to create the cemetery association. Even back then, you would have to have a survey. That's the distinction here. To mark that area. Okay, you know, these cases that we look upon, and there's very little guidance here in Wisconsin. There's only about four cases. You know, you see where you know, where alleyways even are determined. Those rights of individuals, the living, okay, are determined by the plat itself.
Can you just direct my attention to where the platting requirement back then can now be found?
In my brief, Your Honor, I try to tie both that preceding statute as it existed in 1898 to today to show that continuum.
Is it in the town's appendix?
I think it's I'm going to say
Wisconsin Statutes, here. Chapter 59, 1898, 101, page 101 back of the town's appendix.
I'm not sure about the town's appendix, Your Honor, but at my brief on page 9, that shows that sequence.
Counsel, this was, as I recall, an unpublished per curiam. Am I right, or is my recollection correct of the Court of Appeals?
The Court of Appeals opinion, yeah. Your Honor? Yes, it is. That's correct.
Here we have a one-acre parcel, and I think in my mind, one acre, whatever happened to it? Well, we don't know. You know, it kind of fell off the face of the tax rolls, that's for sure.
Quite the contrary, Your Honor. My clients are the owners of record on that. They're the ones paying taxes on this, and they have. That's what their affidavit of adverse possession previously filed and in the record presents. If this, you know, if I may...
Let me finish my question.
I beg your pardon. Go ahead.
My question is this. I listen to the arguments, and we have what may be a unique piece of property, 1 acre, stuck in the middle of almost Wildcat Mountain, but almost not, no roads to it. The phrase I hear these days is, this is a one-off situation. Is this a one-off situation? How great of effect is a determination of this case on others in the state of Wisconsin?
I could not even possibly know where others insist that monetarily townships take on this duty of maintenance. We couldn't guess as to that. But going back to another question where you talk about, you know, if this court finds cemetery, you know, conceivably by virtue of Section 157.11 sub 4, a cemetery association could be reconstitution where there never was one before, okay? It could take possession and control of the cemetery and make public an area that was never public in the last 100 years.
Could you address the assertion of the Court of Appeals that even if your adverse possession argument had some merit, that you let me ask it this way. Does your adverse possession claim over the parcel undermine your contention that the ferries already own it? I mean, how can you have both? I thought there was an argument that you advanced that the ferries already owned the parcel because it was conveyed down the ferries line. Did I miss that argument, or did you make that argument?
That's true, and that's in this sense.
It seems inconsistent to be saying it's conveyed down the line, and yet we have adverse possession.
You have to study closely the deeds themselves in the sense that before there was any identification, and that would have been in 1898, where there was a deed that had a meets and bounds description where somebody could really identify where this area was, in the ferries line, there was a conveyance before that. And then that conveyance, they conveyed the entire 40-acre tract. There wasn't really an exception that described simply 1 acre on the north, bounded by the north of the, or touching the north side of that 40-acre tract. But that's simply where, you know, again, I would say that, you know, the ambiguity of the deed, as I mentioned, that calls out for testimony as from Mayor Earl Ferries, who has a distinct evidence set to present, one that cannot be vicariously presented by his wife, the only one to testify. I mean, and we've gone, and I don't want to be a whiner, but, you know, we've gone on at length to suggest that it wasn't fair that he didn't really have a notice of about this hearing. It was really at the drop of the hat that we had this hearing. And it was a difficult moment, I must say.
Did the ferries, I had read somewhere in the record that they actually used this as for agricultural purposes for 50 years? Is that accurate? So this wasn't set aside by this fence until when?
There's no fence.
There's no fence at all.
There's a fence where they understand other people believe to be a cemetery. That's in a really relatively small area of this entire acre. But otherwise, that's part of the testimony that he could offer, simply his agricultural use of it, his father's agricultural use of that, and why there might not be bodies residing where they say. Okay? Truly, these are law-abiding, God-fearing people. They want to follow the law.
Counsel.
Okay? They just need the guidance.
Counsel. What
yes,
kind,
ma'am.
What
kind of opinion do you want this court to write? If you had the opportunity to write it, give me an outline of the opinion.
I'd like this court to find simply that the ferries own the property, Your Honor.
Pardon me?
I would like the court to find that the ferries own the property, Your Honor.
That's a pretty short opinion.
Yes,
yeah. Is there any analysis?
Well, tell me how, on what basis, then. Adverse possession? Deed? What?
Your Honor, by virtue of the absence of any adherence to the statutory guidelines that dictate how we form a cemetery, this is not a cemetery. It is protected exactly as our legislature intended by virtue of 157.70, and that is burial sites preservation. Okay, it has already been, the circuit court, in its opinion, mistakenly looks at this and says, well, the state said it's a cemetery. The historical society did not say it's a cemetery. They determine burial sites, all right? And that's how this should be protected, and it is that way, okay? There should be no activity that goes into the soil as to disturb those burial sites.
Counsel,
go ahead.
Is this case postured or pled in such a way that we would be able to determine that the ferries own this property through adverse possession?
Well, again, I can't really say what the court might find credible in the context of adverse possession, and there's so many avenues that it could.
My question is a little bit more procedurally oriented. This was not started as a quiet title action.
No, it was not.
And there's nothing pled in, I don't think, in the petition or any responses to the petition that brought adverse possession before the court as an issue to be decided. Is that right?
Before this court?
Before any court.
We have always pled adverse possession, Your Honor.
You've asserted adverse possession. Have you asserted a claim to quiet title based on adverse possession?
We have not commenced action, Your Honor. Okay. We thought it better. We thought perhaps a circuit court would look at this and say it's a little premature. Let's wait until this court perhaps decides, or the Court of Appeals, as the case may be at the time.
Wouldn't adverse possession require that you determine who the titled owner is first?
Well, again, I'm not trying to really beg off. I mean, in the way that counsel for the town and I conceived this, he was going to kind of take on that argument. But could you rephrase it? I beg your pardon.
Sure. So if you're asking us, and this is all just goes to your request that we find that the ferries own this property through adverse possession, right? Generally speaking, an adverse possession claim requires that the title donors have notice and have an opportunity to appear, because their interest in property is being affected.
Right. That's of course a good observation, Your Honor.
Okay. So we're really not postured to find that the ferries own this property through adverse possession at this point.
No, but I think that the circuit court, as a finding of fact, could weigh in on that at some level, even if it wasn't a quiet title formally. Going further a little bit to respond to counsel, monetarily this is not as easy as counsel would suggest. In this particular instance, as the circuit court decision makes clear, the next argument could be, well, how do you get access to this? How do you get an easement to that tract? That in itself, I fear we could be here again. Not really, perhaps. But indeed, I mean, it is a question of access to the property. It is a question of what is required. Vernon County, thankfully, in a way, I mean, because I think these things should be as regulated as closely as the cemetery is by the cemetery authority, unless, of course, another government body weighs in. I see my light is red.
You can finish your thought. That's
okay.
Fine.
I mean, it's good. I feel that the cemetery authority, is one element. Closely regulated, that's the way it should be. These things should be regulated closely to the people who it affects. That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Joseph Humphrey, and I'm here on behalf of the Town of Forest, which is the municipality in which this parcel was located. I think the court has asked very spirited questions which talk about the issues which I wish to discuss with you today. First of all, that the parcel is not a cemetery under the current definition of the statutes in Chapter 157.061.1p. Secondly, that it doesn't fit within the historical definition of cemetery as evidenced in both the 1898 statutes and the case law that we presented in this case. And the third thing I wish to discuss with you is that without defining who the owner of the parcel is, the petitioners have not answered the question or resolved the issue of whether or not a group or association exists who have authority to transfer ownership of the cemetery to the land. And as a subset of that, I will also argue that a cemetery is tied to the land. So if there is...
I didn't hear you. The cemetery is
tied to the land. So if there is an order under Section 157.115.1c, it requires that ownership and title to the property be conveyed as well. I think to start with the question by both the Chief Justice and a few other justices regarding the historical requirements for a cemetery, I would point out that the 1898 statutes are attached to our brief. It's Chapter 59 of the 1898 statutes. And it sets up two different ways to set up a cemetery. Either a town can establish a cemetery, or a cemetery association can create a cemetery. And the requirements for a cemetery association is that it has to have seven individuals. They form an organization and file a certificate of organization with the Register of Deeds. And that's important, I think, in this case especially, because that would give some indication as to an authority to transfer ownership of this parcel later on should the association default in their abilities to maintain. Because that registration was never done with the Register of Deeds in 1898, there was no valid cemetery association created in 1898, as the petitioners may argue. Secondly, Section 1447 of Chapter 59, which is attached again to our brief, requires that any parcel that is conveyed to the cemetery association be surveyed, divided into lots, and recorded with the Register of Deeds. That section is clear that in order to have a cemetery, you again have to mark and dedicate and distinguish it from land around that for another purpose. And that's consistent with the case law that's been cited by all the parties. Petitioners rely exclusively on Wilder in their decision. Wilder was an example of a grantor who created a cemetery plat, filed it with the Register of Deeds, sold lots to other individuals. Those are the requirements that were required in 1898. They were obviously the requirements in Wilder because the court found in that decision that that was a cemetery. And in fact, another one of petitioners' arguments is that the mere fact that people are buried there means that those remains carry rights or that descendants may carry rights. That's not the finding in Wilder. The finding in Wilder is not that the mere burial conferred those rights upon the deceased, but that the transfer of those lots was something that the descendants then had a right to that particular lot in the cemetery. And that's the decision of Wilder, not that just the mere fact of burial conveys rights upon the human remains. The petitioners also rely on Blooming Grove, which I would say supports the town's position here, that in order to create a cemetery, it's not merely enough to bury someone in the ground. You have to mark and dedicate that property. In fact, the head note to the Blooming Grove decision, and I realize that that's not precedential authority for any purposes here, but it states that a cemetery is not created by the use of the ground for burial, but by the act of setting the ground apart and dedicating it, marking it and distinguishing it as a place for burial. And I would note that under the current 157, Chapter 157, dedicating it means platting that parcel. So the historical definition of cemetery was not merely burial. It was marking a separate place for people to be buried. And I think the Blooming Grove fact scenario supports that conclusion as well. In that case, the town of Blooming Grove was looking to take some property from a cemetery, to be honest with you, for the purposes of property tax payment.
Council, what import should we give to WISSTAT 157.70 that protects burial sites in regard to the property we're talking about here?
I think that clearly this property is a burial site. And in fact, what I would wish to do is distinguish cemetery from burial site. And I think the definition is clear in both sides. A burial site is a place where human remains are buried. Past tense. From that perspective, anywhere that anyone has been buried is a burial site. However, a cemetery isn't dependent on where someone is buried or whether someone is buried. A cemetery is land on which is now being used or intended to be used exclusively for the burial of human remains. It's a present tense and future tense difference between that and a burial site. To make a sort of a Venn diagram of the issue, all cemeteries are burial sites, not all burial sites are cemeteries. And if you look at the current statutes to get to that definition as well, burial is restrictive. And as Chief Justice pointed out, 157.065 restricts where burials can occur. Burials can only occur in places that were identified as cemeteries in 1864, which there's no evidence of that in this case, or if the cemetery was established, organized, and operated by one of the entities listed in that statute. And that's a municipality, a religious association, one of the entities.
Does the town have any obligations in regard to preservation of a burial site?
Not in my reading of the statute. In fact, it would be the obligation of whoever owns the property who is restricted against disturbing any remains that are on the property. And that would be that's sort of the difference in the dynamic there, is that in a burial site, that site is preserved and the owner can't disturb it. From that perspective, the burial site is being preserved. And in fact, in this circumstance, if this was determined to be a burial site, and it has been by the State Historical Society, and it has determined that whoever owns it, then it's their responsibility to make sure that that property is not disturbed, that those remains are not disturbed as a burial site.
But that doesn't mean they can't use it to graze their cows on.
I'd have to look very closely at the statute. I believe that the current use for agricultural use is allowed as long as it doesn't disturb any human remains that are on the property, is my understanding of the statute, Your Honor. And to continue on to the second issue, which I think was discussed at length with the petitioner's argument, the statute requires that the petition proves that by reason of the removal or death of the persons interested in the upkeep, there exists no association or group with authority to transfer ownership and operation to the town. To go back to what that means as far as transferring ownership and operation, a cemetery is defined as the land that is used or intended to be used exclusively for the burial of human remains. If this is transferring a cemetery, it's required then that this is transferring the land on which the cemetery sits, because a cemetery is the land on which this occurs. It's not a transfer of graves. It's not a transfer of maintenance rights. It's a transfer of land. And from that perspective, in order to transfer that land, this statute is designed to determine who has the title, who has the ownership of this parcel, who is the one that would or should be the ones performing maintenance on this parcel. The petitioners have not identified anyone. The Ferries have come forth and say, well, we own this land. We've owned it for a number of years. We owned it before a separate parcel was even created here. Therefore, we're an authority that has the ability to transfer ownership and operation of the land on which any cemetery would sit to the town. Petitioners have gotten up and said maybe it's the descendants of the Carson and Williams and the other five individuals that are in that 1898 deed. It may be. But I think that that's a question that the petitioners have to answer in their petition. If that is the case, that this parcel is owned by those five individuals or the descendants of those five individuals, then I think we need to be clear that the record indicates that none of those individuals are currently alive, probably the case, but that their descendants may have an interest in that. Or maybe there was a default and the state owns it. Who knows the answer to that question? But it is something that needs to be addressed because, again, in order for 157.115 to operate, we need to know where this bundle of sticks is coming from. Where's the title?
Counsel, yes. There may be several ways of beginning or several avenues of analysis that one could take in approaching this case. As I recall, and let me see if I'm right, that the Court of Appeals, yes, it skirted in footnote 3 the issue of whether or not this is a cemetery. In footnote 3, it says, we assume without deciding that the parcel is a cemetery. Right? And ultimately, it concluded that it agreed with you, the town, that absence of any ownership or authority, quote, needs to be definitively determined before a transfer under 157 can occur. So my question to you is, need we address the question that the Court of Appeals intentionally did not decide?
The question of the cemetery definition?
Footnote 3. We assume without deciding that the parcel is a cemetery. That's right.
Yes, Your Honor. I believe the court can, generally because the Vernon County Circuit Court determined that it was a cemetery. And that was an issue that we brought up in the Court of Appeals, and that the Court of Appeals decided it on other grounds.
Yes. Does my question, and I think I wasn't clear enough, need we decide the issue of whether this is a cemetery, or can we follow the Court of Appeals and skirt the issue?
The town would certainly like you to decide whether or not this is a cemetery under the statutes, if only because that adds clarity to this case. If the court were to not decide the definition of cemetery in this case, I imagine what we would see is another petition being brought forward under 157, 115, 1C with additional material facts to get around a determination as to ownership.
Mm-hmm. What ramifications or reverberations might be the better wording will this opinion have? Is there anyone? Is this sui generis, your case?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think that there is a likelihood that in every town in the state of Wisconsin, there may be individuals who are buried somewhere in the backyard. And if this particular case, in which none of the formalities that were required in the 1898 statutes were followed, in which none of the formalities that are suggested in Wilder or Blooming Grove are followed, then what's to say that all burial sites aren't cemeteries? For instance, the court recently had a decision regarding burial mounds. If there are multiple human remains buried in a burial mound, and this case was determined to be a cemetery, I think it's arguable then that every burial mound in the state of Wisconsin that contains human remains would then be a cemetery.
This case seems to be a little nuanced with regard to ownership, and the question of ownership and title looms large here. I'm just not sure that kind of fact pattern would exist in other places. Can you respond to that? Again, I'm looking for what are the consequences of us tackling that issue?
Sure, and I think the assumption can be, if we assume that even if the ferries own the land, that there may be other farmers in the state of Wisconsin that have individuals that have been buried on their land, either their kin or others. And what does that mean? Does that make that acre a cemetery and thus not part of their farm? Does that create without a cemetery association in that circumstance? So I guess my argument would be that there are probably people buried in obscure places in the state of Wisconsin. And if we tie whether or not they're a cemetery to the fact that there are people buried in a particular place, even if title is disputed or not disputed, that conveys some sort of difficulty in determining what those land rights are in those particular parcels. Does that sufficiently answer your question, Your Honor? It answers your question to me, not sufficiently?
Just fine, and we'll move on.
Okay, unless there are any other questions from the court, I feel kind of embarrassed that I don't have a Hubert Humphrey quote for you today.
His last name is Humphrey.
I know, that's why I feel bad about it.
Are you a descendant?
So unless the court has any further questions, I'll move over for Attorney Harnish's rebuttal argument. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just want to address for the court a couple, two or three statements made by both counsel for Ferris and counsel for the town of Forest. One thing is, was pointed out, that there are people paying taxes on this property. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I think that 1 acre has been established and set aside, and I think from talking to my clients, there is nobody paying the taxes on that 1 acre, okay? If there is someone paying taxes on that 1 acre, then you've got to ask the question, why are they paying taxes on 1 acre of land? And I think the answer is no, nobody's paying taxes on it. That's the other issue that I have here is this issue of adverse possession. I think to make it clear once and for all that this court could do is that if in fact there is a cemetery, you cannot adversely possess a cemetery. Think about it for a minute. Just think about it for a minute. Into the ridiculous to the sublime. The issue of somebody coming in and adversely possessing this 25 or 30 people buried over here and saying, well, we own it, we got control over it now, and we don't have any obligation to those 25 people. Let's just rip it up. And
statute on burial sites would prevent that, wouldn't it?
Well, if you're taking the position that this is a cemetery, then I think the position has to be that you can't be just going and digging up the property.
Well, that's, even if it's not a cemetery, you couldn't go and dig it up.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's, well, you know, I've always looked at this burial site question, Your Honor, and the cemetery as two different things. I don't think I get the protections as a deceased under a burial site definition as opposed to a cemetery, okay?
Well, doesn't the burial site preservation statute prohibit anybody from disturbing the remains?
Well, it may be that prohibits them from disturbing the remains, but I still feel more comfortable if I'm in a cemetery as opposed to if I'm in a burial site.
Opposing counsel has suggested that the 19th century statutory formalities were not followed when this burial site was first created or thereafter. Do you dispute that?
Well, no, I don't. I'm not sure that in the time that this cemetery was established that the folks who set it in with these 25 people, they were assuming that these people were going to be taken care of. That's why they had a cemetery, okay? Now, I don't think that necessarily follows by those folks who look at a burial site. I'm not sure they necessarily come to that same conclusion. I think the difference between a cemetery and a burial site can be defined as one of caring. And a cemetery is one in which these people care about Ma and Dad and brother and sister that are buried there. And that, of course, is part of the reason why we're before this court. Let me end by dealing with this question of access to property. I know that it would be nice if we had a fully cooperative group of folks here and they decided that they would put a roadway somewhere in here. That is not going to happen. That is not going to happen. I don't see that happening. And so we're going to do the best we can with trying to get the town to take over its obligation and mow the lawn, fence the property. This is something that's being done by 1,262 or 1,261 towns in the state today. They mow the lawn. And that's what my clients were asking to be done. But for whatever reason, it's not being done. And so we would like to have a decision made that takes us back to the circuit court where the town will, in fact, do the maintenance.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you for a very interesting case. We very rarely have cases dealing with cemeteries. We did, either last term or the term before, have something with Ringra Stone and a burial site claim by tribes who said that's what was there. But it's a long time since we've had a case involving whether something is or is not a cemetery. So thank you. Thank you for bringing it to us. We're going to take a recess now so that you all can move out and the next group can move in. We are adjourned.